Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
I'm home cold, standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down? I'm home cold, standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down? They ain't believe in me in the beginning. Don't wanna hang around now they see me winning. I'm home cold, standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down?
What's up, world? It's your boy Big Court from the Holding Court podcast, and today's episode is sponsored by none other than Rap Noodles. You already know what it is, the classic icon ramen noodles. You know what I'm saying? This is the creamy chicken gumbo flavor, one of my personal favorites. So, you know, we grew up in the hood eating noodles. You know what I mean? What are we talking about? Ramen. Forget ramen. Get your rap noodles. You know what I'm saying? So it's no limit to our success. You already know what it is. Be body, rider, rider with the rap icon, rap noodles. You already know what it is. Salute.
All right.
This is the greatest guest in America history, you guys.
All right. So in the building right here, my brother from another mother, the incomparable Silk the Shocker, No Limit Records. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Million set. How many records? About 10 million.
10 million by sync solo by Silk.
10 million yep. Solo. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I consider him the godfather of the flow that y'all all in love with right now.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? The Detroit sound, Blueface, all that been done. Silk was ahead of the curve on that. You
yep.
know what I mean?
Yep.
And welcome to the show, my brother.
Glad to be here, my guy. Glad to be here, my guy.
Yeah.
Appreciate y'all. Sure, all the love. Sure. All love.
You know, and that's my No Limit brother right there. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. man, let's get to it.
Let's do it. Let's do it, my brother. Let's
you know,
do it.
I mean, I know you. I've known you for, what, 25 years now, when I first came to No Limit in 95.
Mm-hmm.
First record that I ever did on No Limit was with you and P.
Okay.
R.I.P.
Okay. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That was our first record together. So I want to drag it back, though. Let's talk about just growing up in New Orleans. I mean, everybody knows you're from New Orleans, but tell us what that was like, you know, especially with Master P being your older brother, C-Murder being your brother.
Yep, yep, like? Yep. I mean, me growing up in New Orleans was crazy because I was the youngest, but I think back then, I just had to fight, man. I remember just fighting so much, just for the name, the family name, but just being a young one, I taught myself how to fight. That's one thing I could do is fight. I fought. Because where you're from, it ain't like you could leave out of there. So you just had to have respect for, you know, just had to have respect. And so that's what taught us how to, you know, always, you know, do what we have to do to keep our name intact. I don't care where I was at, in the streets, out of the streets, whatever. It's the same principle. Just like respect. People get respect. Growing up in New Orleans was crazy because it was murder capital of the world. And it was like, but we was there, so we ain't know no better. We just adapt to the environment.
Right.
And that's why music was what it was. Just like, I mean, just every day it was a different obstacle. Trying to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it was tough. But
so what was a young Silk like? You know what I'm saying? Was you? Because you know, as when I got to know you, I mean, you've always been kind of laid back.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of off in the cut. Were you always kind of reserved or introvert, or were you when you were younger? Were you more outward or more rambunctious?
When I was younger, I was kind of like more of the black sheep. Like more like I get it because I was. It was a little while. I would say I wasn't quiet, but I was trying to figure life out. So I had an older brother. I had three older brothers, a sister. So me going back and forth from my mom, my dad, whatever, just trying to figure it out. But the streets don't give you time to figure it out. It's like either you figure it out or you get sucked, you know, you get sucked in, right? Yeah. So good thing for me is that I didn't. I figured it out. A lot of my friends didn't. I wouldn't say that it was anything I had to do. It was more like grace of God, because I was doing everything wrong to where my family would be like, you're going to end up dead in prison, right? That was a thing. And it was true, because I was running with the wrong people. So the statistics was there. All my friends wasn't making it. I was bad. So I was stealing, taking, you know, doing whatever. And so the numbers would say, yeah, you're going to end up being like that. But, you know, nobody get a chance to tell you what you're going to be. You know, but you were the man up above. So
Right. Why do you think you were bad? Were you acting out, or was it something going on in you or at home, or was it environmental? Was it influences?
I would say it was both. I think it was more of not really knowing what's out there. So, and nobody tell me otherwise, right? So I'm like trying to figure it out. Like my older brother doing what he's doing. Everybody, but you don't realize when you young in a project, nobody could see the young part. So there is level. So if P's older and Kev is older, the young part is where the treacherous stuff happens at. Mm-hmm. And you never see it. Like your mom or dad, whatever, would never see or understand what you're going through in the streets.
Mm-hmm,
they could be like, oh, I was there before, but they'll never understand what you actually going through. So with me, I had to really do it. So I remember times where you know, neighborhood dudes would literally, I would see death, right? So I didn't avoid death. I just missed it. Like you could literally be let's go. I tell people like this. I say, you take a lion cub, right? So you take a lion cub and you think like, it's gonna be a lion one day, right? Mm-hmm. But until it make it become a lion, it's a cub.
Right.
So anything could kill it. A snake could kill it, a hyena, but a hyena couldn't kill a lion when it's a lion. But until that moment, it becomes a full lion. Anything could happen between that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the street did to us. It was like a constant just missing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like my friends, they didn't miss it. They 30 years dead. Yeah. So when I did the Miss My Homie song, that was a real song
right
at the time. Yeah.
So, right. Mm-hmm. Did you ever do time in juvie?
Yep, I was Tetris, man. you know, it's funny because, you know, Gambino family, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So my first time, it's weird, but my first time I was like, maybe my second time, whatever, I don't know what it was. But when I first got in there, Gambino, I think Tunch, Lil one was there, mm-hmm. He's my cousin. So he kind of showed me the ropes. But what happened was my mom, because I think me being a young person, when your parents see you in any kind of jail, right?
Yeah.
They think like, oh, you're gonna get something happen to him, and you know, whatever,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But realistically, it made me really worse, because I went there and I could fight. So I just fought. I just fought my way. First day I got there, fought. Second day I asked him, he'll tell you. And he told me to fight. He said, as soon as somebody says something, just fight, you know, just fight him, whatever.
Who told you that?
Lil Gotti.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
Lil
Gotti. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So he just told me, and he did it too. He showed me, watch this, cousin. He just did, big old dude, about 6'8". He just, you know, he little. He like 5'1". He just jumped on him. And he, but the dude said something to him, like, oh, turn the TV off. He just jumped on him. So it really messed me up, because I thought it was all peaches and cream, just because nobody really wanted to fight. So I wanted to fight everybody. And, you know, it was like, so they just let me kind of go through it, which messed me up, because my mom came to court and she was like, she was crying, whatever. And she was like, she was kind of like, my baby,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I was like, what you crying for? Because I'm actually okay. And when I got out, it made me like, don't care about nothing until I turned 18. Then I was in the real
yeah,
world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But other than that, it wasn't really nothing nobody could do with me.
You know, that's crazy, because my juvenile experience was a little bit different. You know, mm-hmm. I went to jail at 15,
mm-hmm.
and It was the first time I had been locked up, and it was for some serious shit, too. They were going to certify me as an adult.
Ooh.
So I remember going up in the courtroom, you know, I'm playing, you know, I'm putting it on, you know, I'm like, yeah, I don't care. So the judge is like, man, we can't let you out because we feel like that you're a menace to society. I'm like, ah, man, whatever. You know what I mean? Man, I went back to my cell. They shut that door behind me. I sat on that motherfucking bed. A tear trickled down my face. You know what I mean? And I'm like, damn, this is what it got real. You know what I mean? Like, you think that you really want that until you got to deal with that part of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I would say, you know, just knowing a lot of these youngsters, whatever, I see them and I'm like, you know, they don't add the time up. Because I was ready to do like 10, 15 years, like, because I figured like I was young. So I'm like, oh, you could do 5 years, ain't really nothing.
Right.
And so that's what kind of, you think that, so you think like, you never lived before, so you looking at life like, oh, it's just a nickel, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, but you don't understand what a nickel really is.
Right.
And what's 15 and 20 years, so, right? So me.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
I never had the increment of time because nothing really scared me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you said, man, F y'all in this courtroom, I ain't tripping on nothing. So they got young dudes right now who's really thinking like, I can murk me somebody in 30 years. You know, they don't think about 30 years.
They're not forward.
They just like, boom, okay, I ride for my homies, whatever, we got this. And then it's like, boom, 35 years, but they only 17 or 18.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't even start living until you like 15 or 16, or 20, maybe.
Right.
I don't think I figured out till late.
Nah, man.
You know, I'm still trying to figure it out.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
So,
like,
but they don't really accolade the numbers because sometimes, first thing with me was like going in, going out, boom. And it was like, juvenile, where I was at was the toughest place you could be at. It was worse than some of the real jails. But to me, it wasn't like real because you wasn't like, we didn't have like knives and stuff in there. Mm-hmm. So they made it, but for the most part, nobody's doing that. It's just these. So when it comes to those, I was little, but I had hands. So that was it. So it really wasn't, it hit me until like you really say, oh, this real life, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's when you hit the big stage, whatever. But people don't realize, so if you juvenile, if you, like they say, they certify you, it's right after that. You go into the big boy,
you go
right?
Yeah.
And so now you like, you're a man now, so, right? So I don't think the young people, when they sling an iron, because I get it, you know, it's up, right? So you sling an iron, boom, 50 years, and you like, oh, now it's real. So now you thinking you 17, when you get to about, like you say, 35, you like, oh my God, I'm a better person, but you still got 40 years left.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's hard. I seen some people when I was there, I was like, man, I'm going home in a few, but.
I mean, what do you think about that? Because like, even with the laws on the book, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I always thought that, and it's easy to say that when you haven't lost a loved one, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To the perpetrator of that crime.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's cool for somebody at 16, 17 to commit a crime and then have to basically the rest of their life. There's no, you know, because you got to understand if that person 40 years old, 35 years old, that is not the same individual from a 17-year-old kid. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, you know, I understand there needs to be some type of punishment, obviously, but where is the room for rehabilitation and, you know, to be able to atone for that? Because that's not, you know, even some people in their 20s, you know, 20, 21, you're still really young because they say your brain, what, your frontal lobe cortex or whatever ain't finished coming together when you like 20, 21 years old. So the brain is still developing, and then you can, you know, you consider environmental factors. You know what I'm saying? So what do you think about juveniles be given these 60-year sentences for something they did as a kid?
I think it's justified in this case. But I also think that it's the upbringing, it's society too, right? So that we don't have a chance to understand the dynamics of where we come from, education, our opportunities, right? So we literally, if you really think about where Murder Capital World came from Louisiana, was like, who was fighting. Oh, and then somebody upped the gun, a knife, boom. So that was it, right? Then it's like, it's up now. Now we go get a 22, now it's a 38, now it's a 9.
Yeah.
So it became so fast because we couldn't leave the city because New Orleans is a bowl, right? So if you leave out of New Orleans, where you at, in Baton Rouge or the country, right? So if you're a city person, you in there. So it's like, my man ride on me, we take it a little bit further. And it just kept going back and forth. So I don't even think that I think that some of it's justified because they're not supposed to be rehabilitated at that point. Cause you gotta think about it. The if you do stupid stuff, like I know some people who might have carjacked somebody, went the wrong way, boom, they killed the innocent man, right? So person ain't coming back. I don't think that rehabilitation is so much in their favor because of the crime.
Right.
Now, if you do some of these crimes where some, you know, accidental and stuff like that, or some drug stuff.
So damn, Slim. So no walking it back. You kill somebody at 17. I know. So I can see. So maybe it's more personal for you because you had a brother that was killed at a young age, and you were how old when Kevin got killed?
I was young. I was like maybe about, I was still in high school. So
okay. And he was just a few years older.
No, he's older than me. He's like, so P's like, so he's like a year or two younger than P, maybe.
Okay.
2 years younger than P.
Okay.
2 or 3 younger than P.
Okay. But so, so the person, which I know the story, I mean, it was a friend, but was he a teenager? Was he,
No, they probably was like 19 or 18.
Okay.
Or, yeah.
Is he still in jail?
Nah.
Wow.
He only did like 10. One of them got killed, whatever, I think.
Wow.
And then one of them got out. I think the one who didn't do that much time, I think he must have got killed or something. I don't know, whatever. But the other one, it was
damn,
short.
He only did 10 years. Like, so you think maybe that's why you feel the way that you feel about that?
Nah, I feel that way because it's a double-edged sword. So I feel like somebody could get rehabilitated, but after what time and do we know if they rehabilitated? So you really got, they got to prove to you that they rehabilitated themselves. I feel like, yes, I do believe that some people can and they should be, but you have to walk it back for a while. You can't just have a good stretch and be like, I'm ready to come home. That doesn't really work. I mean, this is me saying that because when I did something, I actually did it.
Yeah.
And I expected the outcome to be with it. Now, sometimes they could sentence you too harsh, basically.
Yeah.
But for the most part, here's the kicker. So somebody kill your family member, you want the death penalty.
Right.
If your family member kills somebody else, you want them to come. Free my dog, you know what I'm saying, right? So I just think it got to be fair across the board.
I feel you, but I mean, God forbid, you know what I'm saying, if I was faced with something like that, if a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, you know, I could kind of, because I was there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I did a lot of dumb shit.
Me too.
You know? So I could see where I could have got caught up, and I'm not near the same person that I was at 16, 17, just from just naturally growing and evolving.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
But what do you think your sentence should be if you did something dumb like that? You think it should be like for a couple years, you good?
It depends on the circumstances, you know, because I mean, I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Some of these little cats are demons. Some of them, that's all they want to be, and that's all they're going to be, and that's all they know. You know what I mean?
So
I think it's situational. I think it depends on the situation.
So some of them, if they give them 20 and they get out in 5, they coming home to do it again. They're not really, you know what I'm saying? So I'm saying it's got to be somebody who really walked the walk and talked the talk on rehabilitation.
Right.
It can't be like, you know, it can't be like I was in prison, I was doing whatever.
I mean, because I got friends, dog. Like, listen, I got a close friend that I went to elementary school with, you know what I mean? And he did 10 on a murder, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Him, he got out. You know, he killed some more motherfuckers.
Oh, okay.
But, okay, so that's how that went. But I got a nephew who just got out from doing 20. He literally just got out last year from doing 20. I think he did 22 years.
Okay.
And he's, you know, and he was really young when he did
good
it.
Good guy.
Yeah, but that was his first time ever being in trouble.
That's tough.
He never, it was just one of them situations and that's it tough. Went wrong and he made a split decision and he wasn't even really that kind of kid.
Now, that's tough. Now, Now that might be a little different. We talking about something where you made a mistake, and you because think about this. We young man, I'm telling you now, I'm just figuring it out. So we older. So that's why I'm saying I give some of these crimes. We have to give them a rehabilitation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then some of them, when it's really heinous, I mean, when you young and you do heinous stuff, I think that the level of like I was saying about Mac, like right, like let's say Mac, let's say free Mac, whatever. Well, he's almost free. Mac has never done anything wrong.
Right.
Like, he ain't even back in the back of a cop car.
Right.
What I'm saying? And,
right.
And he talked it, but he was really just being Mac and a good rapper.
An artist,
And good, one of the best dudes you ever want to meet. Mm-hmm. And they gave it to him. He didn't do it. That's first and foremost, right?
Right.
So that's like, and they wouldn't rehabilitate him. I mean, but he rehabilitated himself, but he walked the walk. He ain't never got in trouble.
Right.
I mean, he literally walked that walk.
Yeah.
So where they had no choice but to say, you got to let him out because he was the best prisoner.
He's a model prisoner.
So, but in the day is, he really was a person that didn't even do it per se. So he wasn't had no malice in his heart like that. So those type of people right there, they got to give him a chance. It's like I said, some people, and like I said, I want everybody to get a chance because I know I was young and I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know like it's fair. So if it's like, if you do something, take somebody away from their family, the level can't be, oh, I went to jail for 18 months and I'm better now.
Nah, you know what I'm saying? I feel like, you. I feel you. Yeah, it definitely shouldn't be that. I mean, you know, you have to pay the cost, you know. What was the craziest thing? I mean, being that we're talking about that, what was the craziest thing you seen growing up in the Calio?
I would say the first time that I had actually, I was going to school and there was like a body sitting there and it was right in front of our door, so I just had to walk over it. And I think I heard somebody fighting the night before, and then boom, I think that happened. So that's probably it. But stuff like that was just happening. I didn't even realize there was a problem until we moved out. But it was stuff like that happened all the time. But that was like one of the that was my first time seeing it, and I was just like he ain't getting up. So that was kind of like something I saw. Besides that,
what'd you say, Slim? He ain't getting up.
Yeah, but you know, and I was young. I didn't even know what that was about. I just said, man, I would want to say like wake up, but you know, he was gone.
Yeah.
And that's probably it. And then I would say like I think like the girls in the neighborhood. I mean, I'm saying seeing some of the girls in the neighborhood trying to figure it out around all the killers, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it's the killers, I mean, I can't even say killers, I'm saying the dudes who in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting the girls because they street dudes and the girls are like, yeah, I won't tell him no, but these are good girls. Like next thing you know, you see them, they done, they, you know, just some stuff I saw. I mean, it was just crazy, but yeah, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you grew up in New Orleans. So how did you wind up in Richmond, California?
I think, you know what it was? We were starting doing music. And I think that with P, he was like doing more of like, he wanted to do more conscious street type of music.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, back then they were just doing P-pop music. Everything was
the bounce
music.
Yeah, bounce New music Orleans and stuff bounce, like that. Yeah.
And I would say he was in the street a little bit. So he had to make a change for sure. But it was music change and it was personal change. And so he just bounced one day and was like, yep, we out of here.
But why Richmond? What was the connection in Richmond?
So I think he had a family member there.
Oh, okay.
Me personally, I was like, when I thought of California, right? I thought California was like, when I was growing up, I was always fantasizing about moving out, but I didn't know what was out there. So think about a kid who's in New Orleans who just don't know any better, right? So all I see is New Orleans, uptown, downtown, whatever, third world, whatever. And so one day I was reading this book. I think it was like DuPont Registry or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I turned the page and it was like these palm trees. Cause, you know, in New Orleans, we don't see no palm trees. Everything is dirty. Everything is... So I was like, damn, it's like the moon or something. I'm like, what the heck has got these trees and these big old houses? You know, we're in a project. So I'm looking at it like, and the first thing I saw was, it was this car, like a spaceship. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy. So Ferrari, red Ferrari, right? And I'm like, man, what is that? Like, I thought it was a spaceship, something like that. So the word California meant like, oh, we going there. I'm like, my God. So P like, yeah, we going there. I'm like, oh, because I've seen this in a book.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, man, we about to go there with the spaceships and these palm trees and these big old mansions and stuff like that. And then we get off in Richmond.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I
mean, it was worse than the Cali, yo. That's what I was about
to say. As someone from Northern California, I can tell you it ain't palm trees.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, it ain't. Right. It's like, as soon as we got there, it was the same thing. It was just crackheads everywhere. It was like dudes on the street hustling. Yeah. It was like streetwalkers, you know, so we like, yo, what happened to the big old, you know, the palm trees
wrong
and the
part.
Ferraris and the big old Beverly Hills mansions? Yeah. So I was like, it was crazy because it was the same thing we came from, but worse because we wasn't from there. So think about trying to figure your way through it. But I think the thing saved us was coming from New Orleans was like, I think it was different from California, meaning that I know California had gangs and stuff. Mm-hmm. In New Orleans, we didn't have any gangs. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you got to get it yourself. So with P was, his mentality was just like, don't play with me, right? So that's standard on any level. Like, you can recognize, don't play with me. And I think we got past it because nobody was expecting that level of aggressiveness, like from somebody coming in there. So which I won't do, because see, think about this. And I'm not saying Cali any different, but I'm saying we don't really need nobody to ride with us. It's like, if I got a problem with you, we just going to do it. And they had to do it where, let me get a couple of my boys and come. I'll be back for y'all, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we was like, where you going? You ain't going nowhere. You about to handle it right now. And so they were scared to literally go the one-on-one thing. It was like, no, we'll be back for that. So it was kind of like they start respecting us because we was just like hustlers. We respected them, but, you know, we would be ready to do what we got to do too. And I think they just picked up on it. I mean, I think P had gold teeth in his mouth.
Yeah.
They wasn't expecting that. And he held his own. So I think that's what they respected the most about him. Mm-hmm.
Was it a gang element in Richmond when y'all went
up there? Yeah, yeah. Everybody, I wasn't technically in a gang, but...
We talked about it. You was affiliated.
I was affiliated, but the crazy part about it is nobody... Like I said, I was when I was growing up, nobody wanted to jump me in, basically. There's like, oh, you just a designated whatever we is. I ain't going to put on the brand whatever it was, but it was like you designated whatever. But... what happened was, and I gained respect too, and I could do whatever I want to do, was I'm with the shits too, right? So I'm really with it, and I'm all the way out there. And they couldn't understand how I was all the way out there. Because they'd be like, if somebody jumped my man's whatever, they'd be like, oh yeah, we're going to get you in a couple weeks. I'm like, nah, we're going to get them now. And they'd be scared. So it's kind of like none of them really wanted to, they didn't want to go up against me type of thing, but they didn't want... they didn't feel like they had to jump in because they was going to get beat up anyway, probably, and they just needed somebody to lead them in that direction. So I didn't have to really technically be jumped in, but I was a leader, though. So ain't no other kids going to put no hands on me like that. So they knew that. So they always come in and look for me like, oh, Shock, they just ran up on your boy, you know? And I'm like I didn't believe in the whole drive-by thing. Like, They'll say stuff like that. I'll be like, what is that? Like, you know,
you was on the walk them down.
That's back then. Walking them down, man. Yeah. Tripping on that, man. Whatever. And they kind of like took that as a leadership type of thing. So, yeah. That
okay. Was okay. So, I mean, being in Richmond was the inception of the music shit. Mm-hmm. Like, Is that something you always wanted to do, or you was just following Big Bro's lead where he's like, hey, look, you know, I see this music thing is popping. Let's try to get into this. Did P put the bug in you, or was that something that you already had brewing? Like, you know what? I want to try this rapping thing.
I would say it definitely was him first. But it wouldn't even start like that. It more started like trying to stay out of trouble type of thing. But it was a new hustle for him because he knew that the E-40s of the world, the Spikes, mm-hmm. you know, he knew they was getting money. So, you know, where P is like, oh, they getting money like that? Okay, let me figure out. I ain't a rapper, but let me see how they rapping.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, they rap? Okay. So they in the studio. They went to K-Lou.
K-Lou, yeah.
All right. So he's like, oh, okay, K-Lou, make me this beat like this. And before you know it, it was kind of like just kind of figuring it out as it go. Mm-hmm. But it was different. And the one thing I liked what he did was the most was he ain't spared no cost on the sound. Mm-hmm. So if you back then it was all about the speakers, like
yeah.
whatever's bumping in the speakers, right. they like, and so we went to K-Lou, but nobody could afford K-Lou.
Yeah, right? And Al Eaton.
Al Eaton too, yeah, Al Eaton too, yeah, Al Eaton too. And they couldn't afford it. And so, but he made sure that K-Lou was like the Dr. Dre of mm-hmm. that. So yep. if you went to K-Lou,
real talk.
But everybody else was just like, oh, I'm gonna go by Courthouse and record this song, mm-hmm. and it sound like that. Mm-hmm. But if you went to K-Lou.
But I got to come by Courthouse.
I mean, you know, I had that little raggedy studio.
I got the Jakey studio.
You got the Jakey studio, you know what I'm saying?
I had the little four-track recorder. Yeah, huh?
Closet studio.
So, I mean, I'm just saying anybody in the hood with the speakers and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So, that's probably what they was doing. Mm-hmm. But what he did was he had to take a little couple odd jobs, but mm-hmm. he got the songs. And once the people heard it, it wasn't even about the music. It was like when they came with their cars, heard that music, it came back again.
And so that would be what? That was Mama's Bad Boy era, cause, or was that Ghetto's Trying to Kill Me? Because I know you had the Real Untouchables. What was the first No Limit record? Because it was one where the album cover was drawn, right? It was sketched.
So here's the story behind that. I'm going to give you a sleuth because you're my dog. So when we had the store, right? Mm-hmm. So we had the store. And we realized how easy it was for them to.
What's up, everyone? Stacey Ike here from the Human to Human podcast and recovering perfectionist. If you're looking to explore your interpersonal relationships, have a safe space to reflect without shame, and deep dive into the many layers of being human, then come hang out with me on the Human to Human podcast, where I go deep with your favorite celebrities, tastemakers, and thought leaders. Be sure to check out and subscribe to Human with Stacey Ike. That's the number two, not the word two, brought to you by the Revolt Podcast Network. I'll see you there.
Actually sell records. So all the D-boys coming there on Tuesdays, boom, they're like, give me whatever you got.
Right.
What's hot? What y'all got is hot? So be like, oh, Too Short came out. They go buy like 100 of them, pass out in the hood, boom, boom. Because they come in their mink coats on, they come with their money, mm-hmm. big old wide, drop it down, whatever, right? They mm-hmm. give me 100 of those, give me 200 of those, pass out the neighborhood. So we was like, damn, we sold 1,000 CDs in 1 week, right? So based on our word, so we're like, oh, my man, right album came out. They're going to buy 50 of them, 100 of them. Everybody coming out on Tuesday, they're going to buy it, right? So we like, yo, that's crazy. So we go try to do music. But so the first record... If you notice it had no cover on it.
Yeah.
I think it was TRU, but it had,
okay.
had just the words on it.
Okay.
But that was by design because we was the rappers, right? So we was like, what's hot? They coming out. What's hot?
Oh, okay. I see.
What's hot came out, right? What's hot? They're like, this new group called TRU hot. They hot. They blowing up. Give me 100 of those, right? Another person. Give me 50 of those. Give me 20 of those, girls.
So y'all was on some anonymous shit.
We was anonymous. Yeah, yeah. And man, but here's the thing about it. When they came in, they was like, yeah, just give it to me. When next week they came, man, what was that TRU stuff? Man, them boys go hard, right? So that's what the whole thing. Now we like, oh, for real? So we done sold 500 CDs, 800 CDs in a week. That's a nice little bag, you know what I'm saying, of our stuff. So next thing you know, P like, you know, do it again. You know, he's going to do it again and do it again and do it again. So did it again. They came back. They're like, anything in the TRU dropped, let us know. You know what I'm saying? So the first two records had no faces. I think even Mama's Bad Boy, did it have faces? I think it just
Mama's Bad Boy did.
Nah, yeah. I don't think so.
It did. It had P getting handcuffed or something like that with a hat on.
Which, it was one.
And then y'all did one where you had the ski mask, the stocking caps.
Okay, that's one. That's one. Okay. So
Get Away Clean.
It was another one that had the MasterCard on it or something, but it
that
might
have been real early.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Whatever that was, yeah. We did the first two or three with nothing on it, but the words on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yeah, yeah.
So do you remember what your? So did you always go by Silk?
Yeah, I went by. At first, I went by just Silk by itself.
I'm saying it wasn't no name before Silk. It was just Silk by itself.
Yeah, it was just Silk.
Okay.
And what happened was, the group Silk sued me.
Damn.
Right? They tried to sue me, right? So they're like, oh, change. As I start blowing up a little bit, they're like, change that name, right? So I'm like, okay. So what I did was I put two Ks on it.
Yeah.
Like my first record was called The Shaka, right? So they're like, they ain't good enough.
This is a classic.
Yeah, appreciate it. They're like, they ain't good enough. So they're like, okay, cool. So once they did that, I had to change it again. So everybody called me The Shaka anyway. So they just put two and two together. There you have it. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, Silk. Thank you, Group Silk. Appreciate y'all.
So listen. So when you go into the studio, your first, or say the first couple of studio sessions, right? Mm-hmm. How did a young Silk, The Shaka, develop the style, the infamous style, the double time, stutter step, rapping off beat, whatever they want to call it? How did you come up with that? Or was it just natural?
You know what? I was just being myself. I think the first record, man, I can't remember what it was. Oh, it was Ghetto Trying to Kill Me.
Okay.
Right? So if you go back, I thought I was like, I thought I sounded horrible. I'm like, that sound like a little baby, some kind of girl. Like, I'm like, whatever. But you know what it is? It's like when you speaking like, kind of like a, you know, like just real, because I was in the like I was really in there.
Mm-hmm.
I was just rapping like two keys a day. You never seen someone, you know, like 3 o'clock up in the morning chopping. I was just going.
I mean,
in.
It sounded heartfelt, you know. That's why I resonated because
I was in
real.
I was in court. I was in that thing. I was like, I just saw my boy pass away. Like, you know, I was like, I was really in it. So when I was rapping, I don't think I even wrote it. I was just rapping, and that's kind of like been my consistent thing of. Just being before, I was talking to somebody, QC, whatever, and it was just like, you guys are one of our favorite rappers. Of course, P was his favorite hustler, but he was like, man, you was before your time. He said, even Lil Baby and stuff like that, mm-hmm. you know, he reminded me of you a little bit and stuff like that. I thought that was dope that, and I was supposed to do something with Lil Baby too, so the level of respect was there. So even going back to that, when I first did my first project, actually first song, I felt that way, but that song, the Ghetto Trying to Kill Me,
mm-hmm.
and Obey was crazy, but it was me on it, and the people was like, who was him? And from E-40, everybody was just like going crazy over that particular song my verse, right? So I kind of was like, cool, but I knew it was crazy. I was at the I don't know if I told you before, but I was at the video shoot with E-40, Spice One, and I think Tupac came through.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I can't make this up. It's no lie. I was young, but I was wild. So I'm looking around, and I'm just like, this is crazy. I don't know if I told people before, but I seen Tupac, and I'm just looking, and Tupac is like looking at me, like really looking at me. And I think I was talking to E-40 or something. He was like, man, you cold, man. You're a cold young man. Let's do something, whatever. And then I seen Tupac, and he was like, just looking at me. But I was like in the street. So I'm like, yo, you got one more time to look at me. And I'm, but then E-40 was like, no, we was listening to your music in the car. And Pac was like really going in with it. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. But I didn't really know Pac like that until I know Pac way later on. But I just thought he's a regular dude. But when I pulled, you know, I did the homework, it was like, oh, when E-40 mentioned it and stuff like that, I was like, oh, that's crazy. But I was young. So, but yeah, I was just.
So Pac was over there looking at you like Bishop.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did he just say he tried to run the fade on Pac?
Yeah, he was on some Bishop shit.
I wouldn't say I run the fade on, but no, it was. But you know what? It was like this because I don't know. I was just had chip on my shoulder on everything.
Yeah.
So he was just looking like I, if somebody you know you like, like he was just looking, and I was just like, I think you're looking too much. But that was just me just being
that was just
like
you
dumb.
Tripping out.
You know, just tripping. Like he wasn't really looking like that. Like I'm mugging you. He was just looking like. We just listen to your music type of thing. Same thing happened. I met Drake one time, and I was the same thing. I think it was at the I think a music award, And it was first when he first came out, and I was just bumping it like, this dude is talented, mm-hmm. seeing him, and he recognized me, stuff like that. But I guess he must thought I was wanting to do a song or something. But I was just like, yo, man, this is dope. You're a dope artist. Just, you know, it's gonna be a little tricky mm-hmm. being young and in the game. So I was just giving him game. But he thought I wanted a track, so I wasn't even thinking about that. But I thought that, you know, it was just a cool little dude. And of course, he's Drake now, but
yeah, I got a funny Drake story too. Drake be on one. He a little slickster, but I actually was having a meeting at mm-hmm. Philippe Childs, mm-hmm. The one that Manny used to own. Mm-hmm. I was there doing a meeting, mm-hmm. and I was there with AJ Johnson, the actress, mm-hmm. and we was meeting down there about something I was helping her with. And so I guess apparently he must have thought that we was together, mm-hmm. you know, so he came in with his family and we were sitting in a little private area. Mm-hmm. And I seen him looking, you know, mm-hmm. but he didn't say nothing. Mm-hmm. I get up, I go to the restroom. I come back from the restroom, he mm-hmm. over there talking to AJ. You know what I mean? Okay. Yeah, you know. And so when I came back, he was just like, oh, man, you know, much respect, man. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to tell her I was a fan, you mm-hmm. know. Woo, 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 you know. Okay. But I'm thinking you could have did that while I was just sitting here. Like, okay. It wasn't nothing like that with me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, why you couldn't come over and say, hey, I'm a fan?
Yeah,
you know? But shout out to Drake, though.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, he was still very pleasant and respectful, mm-hmm. but I was like, why I had to get up? You know what I'm saying? For you to come, you know, he was on something, you know what I mean? But, but so you do the Ghetto's Trying to Kill Me, mm-hmm. and then, you know, you catch a little buzz. So whose idea was it for you to go solo? I mean, because you just coming off of doing a feature, you know what I'm saying? So what, you know, how did you have that confidence to say, you know what, I'm finna do this solo?
You know what, I didn't. And then the people spoke, man. They just, mm-hmm. I mean, man, I did this one song, if you go back, I think it was on P Record, and it was hard, man. It was hard. And I think it was a small intro. I can't remember what it was. I'll find out later. But it was a small intro. And I tell you, I ripped it. Mm-hmm. By that time, it was everybody was like, got to come out with a record.
Yeah.
So that time, I was, like I said, I was just in this, when it's time to go to the studio, I you know, I don't really write much.
Right.
I was just speaking off the dome. And I think the Shaka album proved it. Like, it was definitely before its time. Like
the Shaka album is probably personally one of my favorite albums.
I can see that.
Yeah, yeah, especially.
It's one of the best, I think, in the No Limit catalog.
Oh, okay. Well, salute my guys.
Hey, I was in Sacramento at the time, so we wasn't that far away. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when it was buzzing with all that 99 Ways to Die, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm, it was, you know, we was 45 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I remember it all coming out. But yeah.
No, it felt like, I didn't know it at first, but it felt like, it was just me just doing it. So I guess I always been a story kind of could put stuff to paper, but really just put stuff out. Mm-hmm. So the people would actually say that. Mm-hmm. So when it's time to put a solo record out, they just wouldn't accept nothing else but a solo record from me. Like they was like, we're going to boycott y'all if you don't come out of record. So I had to go in the studio. I did the album quick as heck, just kind of got some tracks and stuff. And mm-hmm. And they were just coming to me like...
Because that's before Beats by the Pound came out. You were still working with... Because I don't remember Beats by the Pound having no music on Silk.
On Shaka?
On the Shaka. Nah. It seemed like it was all like K-Lou and kind of those Bay Area. Because it wasn't nothing kind of bouncy on it. It was still kind of Bay Area influenced a lot.
You might be right about that.
Shaka. Yeah. I mean...
The Shaka, you might be right. Yeah. But I did work with Carlos Nim. Mm-hmm. XL, I think, mm-hmm. was on there.
XL did something on Shaka?
Let me see. No. It was like Moby, like Cuz and all those. Yeah. But no, so take that back. I got to find out. That's a good question, though.
Yeah.
It definitely was different, but I know Carlos was on it. Mm-hmm. Damn, was Mike Diesel in the movie? Nah.
Nah, I don't think he is. Nah,
yeah, I gotta see the producers. Yeah, that's a different.
So a lot of people, again, they always, you know, No Limit is synonymous with mm-hmm. the independent grind. Mm-hmm. Like, what was that? I know what it was like because mm-hmm. I came around 95, 96.
Yeah.
But what was that grind like, you know what I mean, in that time? Like, take us into the headspace of you and P and C, you know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. you hadn't yet made it. It was something you was chasing at that time. Like, what was that grind like? Was you hitting cities? I mean, I'm sure it was hitting these little, you know, chitlin' circuits and the propensity for... for fighting and shit, crazy shit happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, what was, did you experience crazy stuff out on the road and that whole grind, trying to really get it to pop before it popped?
Yeah, well, it was different for us because, man, the hustle was through the roof. I mean, we would be like, outwork everybody, no sleep, wear the same clothes 3 or 4 days in a row. Mm-hmm. The grind was real, but, you know, when you really want it and you don't have any other option, mm-hmm. And I think I would say P. Moore led the charge on that because hustling wasn't really my thing. I mean, if you know what he do now, so it's like he grind. Mm-hmm. So that's the same way he was before. So I have to say in that perspective, salute to him because if it was on me to do it, I wouldn't have got No Limit to there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm good now. I'm smart and stuff now. But at that time, it took that because I would have been good with half a million, or a million.
Right.
But then I would have probably, tricked that, messed that off and whatever. And been. But I think the consistency, he knew about it. That's why we would find ourselves in the craziest places selling CDs. And one time we went to a place, they was like, imagine going to your hood, but the worst hood, right? Let's say if we going to, Compton, how Compton was, or I don't know, if you talk Oakland, whatever. But imagine some dudes that ain't from there just pull up in the middle of the hood and be like, yo, I got these CDs for sale. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to be like, somebody gonna go crazy, gonna go off on these dudes coming in there. But I remember one dude was like, "You gotta be kidding me, y'all back in our hood." I'm talking about these real hitters, right? Like y'all back here, y'all the police or something, cause y'all crazy, right? So that's their mentality, right? So they really was thinking about doing us something, but they're like, you know what? I respect what y'all trying to do. I don't get it. Y'all crazy. That's like jumping in the lion's den, whatever, but snake pit. But you know what? We all getting money. I don't understand y'all, man, but give me them CDs. Oh, my fault. Oh, give me them CDs. You know what I'm saying? And and here go $100. Now get out of here. So we was doing stuff like that, but we were so naive and dumb. Well, we had to get it that we didn't even think about the safety. We just we all in DC, we all in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And, the thing about it is, like I said about being a cub, it's like you don't know any better. You just wander in the world, saying, freely.
Did y'all ever get into any shit?
Of course.
Yeah.
There was some people.
What was the craziest, thing trying to build No Limit? The craziest shit that happened?
I know you heard about the story in the Oakland, whatever. We fighting and we in a club. We from Richmond.
Yeah.
But we was in Oakland performing, which you're not supposed to be in. And we just... it kicked off, man. It was crazy. We got into a pretty serious fight.
What happened? Walk us through it. I don't know if I know this one.
You don't know this one? The one I lied about, somebody stepped on my foot, that one? I'm sure you heard that one before, Court.
Yeah, but tell us again.
I think I was just young, and I just wanted to fight. So we in Oakland, and I'm just chilling, and then some dude walked past. I ain't like the way he looked, so I'm like, oh, okay. So I just said, oh, man, he stepped on my foot, and then... everybody look, whoever with us is like, you did what? So damn, boom. Whole club start fighting, boom, boom, boom. It's gonna go crazy.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because it almost got us in trouble. Mm-hmm. Well, we could have, I ain't gonna go into too much detail, but you could have took the shocking P and
yeah,
the
I know that. I know that part.
Yeah. But I mean, like I said, to me, it's like, no matter what happens, supposed to be that way. Mm-hmm. Us coming from the Calio Project, supposed to be that way. I mean, we could have been born in Beverly Hills, but we wouldn't have been Silka Shaka and No Limit, right? Mm-hmm. So I take everything with a grain of salt where it's like, just trust the process, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, okay, so you put out the Shocker.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that's it's like a third. It's KLC, K. Lou, and Carlos.
What's on that album?
Yeah, I looked it up. So,
oh yeah, because they did the 1, 2, 3, Silka G.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost a third right down the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
Between the beat and the production.
Okay, you don't come on, man, get it up, sip it up, bro. You know what I'm saying?
All right, okay, coming through.
I mean, Google.
Google.
We Googled it.
So now you got the Shocker out. Okay. And after the Shocker, I remember it was True to the Game. And then Ice Cream Man, you know, and that's what that opened, that kicked the door in. So as that was unfolding, you know, now I was around that time as well. What was that like? That feeling of, okay, we here, you know what I mean? Like what was that? And especially once the money started flowing, like, you know what I mean? What was that feeling like?
I think, okay, so we hustling the CDs. The best thing was for us was that I think we did the 85-15 deal. So that was dope. So, but that was right before we had a little buzz, but they didn't think that we would become what we became. Right. So they gave us 85-15.
Exactly.
Like, let me just get these dudes off the street.
Yeah, they thought you was just going to sell 100,000, 50,000. Yeah.
But the best thing ever happened was us being in the trenches like that. So if we in KC, you remember, like, man, I remember No Limit. Them boys came out here. And so every city just caught on fire. Like, you'll be like, yo, I remember them boys out here. You know what I'm saying? Then that KC is on lock for us.
Right.
I think it became where the music caught up to who we were, the hustle. So once we did that, I think the first real one was I'm About It.
Mm-hmm.
When that came out.
Yep.
It just blew up everywhere, right? And then
the soundtrack?
No,
the song. The song.
The song.
The soundtrack too, but the song came out and it just boom caught.
Crazy thing about the song, Slim. No cap, right? That's when P had flew us out there and we came out there with y'all. And I remember hearing About It when it wasn't even mixed. You know, he had just did it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a true story. P can tell you this. When I heard it, I thought it was some bullshit.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. I told him. I said, P, I was like, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. And he just laughed. He said, I'm going to have the whole world saying I'm About It. I was like, no. I was like, I don't even know what you're saying. You know what I mean? And I didn't get it. You know what I mean? And I bullshit you not. By the time we got back to Kansas City, I promise you, everybody and their mama was playing it. And I was like, oh, that's what he meant.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I get it now. And it was just a testament to Big Bro's genius and his foresight. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's, you look at it, it was like, okay, like when you think about it with P and with No Limit, this is how I always looked at it. You had Eazy-E passed away, Biggie passed away, and Tupac passed away, which I think created a hole for P to run right through. Because I remember, it was like everybody was scared of the gangster shit after Tupac died and Biggie died. Everybody was getting on some jiggy shit and moving away from that. And P just ran right through that hole with the I'm About It. You know what I mean? And I think he was instrumental in, like, even now, you can even see his thumbprint now. Because if you think about it, the records that really do well, the reason why Atlanta and the South has really had this music scene is because everything they can bounce to. It's got that bop to it.
Yep.
Whereas when West Coast had it, it was laid back. It was slow. You know what I'm saying? And so he incorporated that bounce, which initially he was trying to get away from. Because really, when you think about it, About It is kind of a bounce record.
It is.
You know what I mean? So he was able to put that gangster shit on top of that bounce, and it gave people that energy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I remember it when I got back to Kansas City, man, About It had blew up. I said, damn, I called him. It's like, bro, you was right. That's crazy.
Well, so with that being said, it was Kansas City, Chicago, Memphis. It happened at the same time. So now the labels are like, what's going on? But they only own a little bit. So they're not promoting it like that because they're like, we ain't really getting that much from it, right? So now when you walk in the office, you sold so many of them. We did that. We started out with like 10 grand, right? But we turned that to 100. And we made everything ourselves. So they have no money for us. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't, our album, he did the album cover himself. He did the Shout to Pen and Pixel because I got the money off the dice.
Yeah.
The first album cover off the dice.
Yeah.
That's what I do, you know what I'm saying? But so you got that. You got, we did our own videos. So we walking them. It's almost like literally we didn't get no money from them. So you know the hustle with the 10 grand. Imagine walking the office now, you got 5 million from the streets. You know what I'm saying? You got 5 million. So that's where it came at. If you could make 5 million, you can make 10. If you make 10, you can make 20.
Right.
And then you can, eventually make Forbes at 400 million. So you can, you know, like if you just keep hustling, most people are like, oh, I got 5 million, I'm good.
Let's, they rest on their laurels.
They rest on that. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what the 19 albums came out in 1 year. Signing Snoop, Mescal, you know what I'm saying? All that type of stuff. So it just was the mentality. Like I've learned from it now where, I might be a little successful, but my grind is so ridiculous now. And I take the same logic. Even though I don't worry about what I did before, I think if you take that same principle and be able to apply it to whatever you're doing now. So, you know, to me, that's what's been my best thing as far as that. But as far as back then, it was just having the ability to do whatever you want to do. So like say you're a businessman. If when you wake up, you have ideas. You might say, I'm going to do this film. I'm going to do this talk show, podcast, whatever it's going to be. And then only thing that will stop you is financially, right? So if you know how Pete think, whatever, right? Yeah. So every day he wakes up, he's trying to figure out something else to do. So imagine being able to do it. So that's the catch. We all could do whatever, but we all have ideas. But most people, I found people that be needing $1,000 and they'll make $1 million because they got that mentality. So when they gave him that kind of money, it was just like, why should I sleep?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? 50 albums a year, you know what I'm saying? Let's do 100 videos, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, that was it. I mean, and it just kept on going because why would it stop?
Right.
If you don't get lazy with it, it shouldn't stop. You should take... Now, when it got to a certain point, because everything's going to hit a wall, I think what most people would say is when you're successful, the opposition is going to try to find a way to break it up, right? So all the successful companies in the world are like, they'll be like, oh, Court, you own Warner Brother. Well, the other people gonna say, who's making Warner Brother? I mean, I'm not saying Warner Brother, let's take it back. Let's say whatever your company is. If you're successful, another company is gonna say, what make you successful? Oh, the VP. They're gonna hire the VP away from you. If it's records, they're gonna say, how can I take this artist who's hot? It could be anybody, it could be myself, Mystical, whatever, they're gonna offer you something to take you, you know. So every label gonna have to figure out, it's just gonna happen. Because most people grow. If you a player, you're gonna wanna be a coach one day, you're gonna be a broadcaster, you're gonna wanna own a team.
Right.
The growth is gonna go there. So with No Limit, we could have kept going a long time, but eventually people gonna grow up and be like, I'm on my own label. I don't know if it's successful or not, but they just gonna do that. That's just how it goes. So that's the only roadblock of not taking a half a billion and getting a billion.
Right.
Because it's going to, the dynamic is going to change. Like, I would say, they're going to see it. So when I walk to the airport the first time, they're going to be like, oh my God, Silk Shock, whatever. Boom. Second time is going to be like, oh, that's Silk. They're like, oh, I know that. That's my guy right there. You know what I'm saying? And then it's going to get trickled down.
Yeah.
So by time, take a picture and they'll be like, they see you now, they're like, oh, that's just Silk. He comes through all the time. You see what I'm saying? So with the label stuff, it's the same thing. They're gonna find themselves at a crossroad at success. So if you somebody, I'm not gonna say no label's name, but any label successful now, it's gotta be a fam vibe, but also gotta have an understanding of people gotta know the part to play. Some people don't wanna play that part. People wanna play. And everybody not meant to be the boss.
Right.
Everybody not meant to, like, what I learned, taught myself is you make yourself a boss when nobody's hiring, right? But if you got something successful, then you definitely want to, you know, give people promotion, right? But in reality, either you got to be a good leader or a good follower. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's not meant to be the boss, but you have to know when it's time to advance yourself, because everybody should have advancement. So I think that's going to be the part that every big company is going to have to turn over. And usually the problem comes with black-owned companies. I'm not saying it's a white or black thing, but I'm saying, as a black person, I'm always looking at the guy at the top, seeing if I could take him. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. Like, yeah, you'd be like, oh man, you, I don't, whatever, I don't like what you're doing. So it's always critiquing that person. Mm-hmm. David Stern, Adam Silver run the NBA. Nobody ever questioned his judgment decision.
Right.
So that's the only thing you're gonna have to deal with in our culture as this when you get to a certain level of success, they're gonna start saying you make too much money.
So yeah. Speaking of money, once you start selling records, bruh, and you can keep it 100 with me, I'm your brother. You know what I'm saying? Once you got some money, what'd you do? What was the first thing that you got? How'd you ball out? Coming from the projects, coming from Richmond.
I had a big heart, so I just bought a whole bunch of dumb stuff, right? So I was just like, but I also bought dumb stuff for other people too. So if you was around me, every day for like 3 or 4 months straight, I woke up and went to the mall every day. So if you was with me, I literally woke up and bought you something every day. Like I had 5, 6 people around me, Rolex for you, Rolex for you, diamond ring for you, diamond. Like, oh, here go car for you. Like I was doing stuff like that because I didn't understand the value of money.
Right.
Right. I'm not saying I had a whole bunch of money, but I'm saying that whatever I got, I figured I was going to get it for a long time.
Right.
But I also was, I would say it was a more of an emptiness because you don't really know who your friends is when you got money, right? You don't know what girl's there for you, whatever, when you got money. So you just, and you got money. So they're going to tell you stuff that you want to hear.
Right.
So, oh man, you know. So they knocking at my door. They know I'm going to the mall when it's 10 o'clock. They at the door.
Yeah.
I'm just going to buy you something. I'm going to walk through the mall, tennis shoes with everybody. We're going to Foot Locker, everybody. Get it. And that was just my consistent thing. So what I think I did, I done dumb stuff like, remember buying a Ferrari.
You got that spaceship.
I got the spaceship. I really did. And the crazy part about it is I got it and I got two of them, the same color, make and model. It was crazy. Like they talked me into buying two of them, and when I looked up, the whole year had went by because I was on the road so much. The cars had one had 240 miles on it, and the other one had 118 miles on it. These two Ferraris, these like
yeah.
So I dropped the cash on it, and it had those kind. So it's just dumb stuff that I think that I was just going stupid stuff like.
So was that you or was that bro? Was that P that misplaced the car or left it at the airport?
Me.
That was you?
It was me. I was doing stupid. I was.
Yeah. Was it a Benz that you forgot at which airport? Or
I forgot two of them. I forgot. I had this decked out either Cali truck or Lincoln. And I left it there for so long that they just auctioned it off or towed it and auctioned off. And I didn't realize until I got a letter saying, oh, this is.
You forgot all. So you get into the money that much to
not
where
really,
you.
Not really.
No, you have to be. Because if you buy a car and you go to the airport and you forget you parked that bitch and you just go on about your life like, I just forgot the new car.
I was getting to it a little bit, but I was more like, I didn't have the conscious sense of what it meant because I was so talented that everybody would. I would always get money. Like I would say, I don't know. It was one song. I think it was, you remember like Express Yourself, the song I did? Express Yourself. I'm expressing with my full capability, right?
Oh, you talking about NWA?
Yeah. So I remade it. They had gave me $150 for that. Mm-hmm. Just like, boom, take $150,000 for that.
Yeah.
And like other stuff. I mean, I think I was doing stuff with Cameron. Yeah. I was on tour. Like it was crazy. And I wouldn't say I was balling out. I could have probably got a lot more money, but the money part was just there. So if I got $100,000,
yeah,
you know, you'd be like, oh, you now you'd be like, oh, I was gonna buy investment property, right?
Right,
like,
right.
But back then I was like, oh, it's $100,000. Oh, you got five for you. Get off my face. I'm about to get some rest.
Yeah.
So it was that type of mentality.
Yeah.
And so what I was doing was I was always doing something. So I would always just have the money coming in. It would be like another 100 right here,
right.
Then 50, then 70. So, and I would kind of do it almost weekly, like. And it would be just be like, it's just money. Like,
you know what? When you get into it, you do that. Cause I did the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like it was nothing for my old lady to be washing my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I leave $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 in my pocket.
No question.
And
no
would
question.
Literally forget about it, you know? And she would be like, you know, she would tell me. And I remember she said one time she had told one of her girlfriends that, you know, I would leave money like that and would weeks forget about it.
Mm.
And her friend would be like, you don't take it? And she be like, take it. Like, I'm stealing from myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But, yeah, when you get into it and you getting it that fast. But, you know, we don't come from an environment where, you know, financial literacy is a thing.
Facts.
You know what
big
I'm
facts.
Saying?
Big facts.
You know, we because anybody could get to some money. But learning how to keep it and being fiscally responsible is a whole nother science within itself, you know.
Well, you got to think, too. That we definitely don't have financial literacy, mm-hmm. first of all. It's our first time doing it. So you're on the fly with it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like the young people, they're not gonna get it. They're not gonna really understand it until
it's too late, until it's gone.
If it's not too late, they could come back out of it, but they're gonna say what we said. Like, oh yeah, I mean, yeah, we doing pretty good, but them little couple meals we blew away, yeah. we could have bought a couple, like he said, bought a couple studios and and so, but it's, I mean, it, to me, I don't really think about it much because mentally, that's how it was meant to be. So I feel like I'm glad that I probably didn't have as much as I should have had, probably, meaning that whatever it was I got, I was gonna, you know, probably was gonna spend a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. I could have made better decisions. Mm-hmm. Cause you gotta think about this. Now, yeah, I can't debate what I could have had, should have had, but you have enough. If you're from the hood and you can make a couple million,
yeah, for sure,
you should be good for real life, right?
For sure.
Like now, we can make a couple million work, and we'd be So, you see what I'm saying? So, I don't really worry about it because I'm so in tune to now.
Yeah.
I rarely even think about the money part because. Yes, a lot, but if you make more now, you just make more now.
We at a different space now, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you understand money. Like, a lot of times, to be honest with you, at this stage of the game for me, I don't even chase money. You know, money's like a shadow. Mm-hmm. You know, you chase it, you'll never catch it. You know, you have to, when you work onto a purpose and you just do what you love, the money will come. You know what I mean? So I learned that as well. Mm-hmm. Anytime I tried to do something for money and just was, you know, I failed at it. Because I really didn't take the time to learn it and master it to get to the money. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, because chasing money really only applies in the street because that's all it is. You know what I'm saying? So I always tell people, invest in stuff that you love. You know, get involved with stuff that you love. Because you'll take the time out to do it and do it correctly. You know, what was the most... So you say the two Ferraris was probably your biggest splurge?
Nah, I was just... Man, I bought so much jewelry... and I just lost a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. You lost it or you?
I don't even know if I lost it. I think having wrong people around you too, they just pick it up.
Damn.
You know, when you sleep, they take it. Mm-hmm. I mean, what you gonna do about it? So it was a lot of that stuff. It was just like now I'm way more receptive of it. I understand it. But then I really didn't trip. Even some stuff I would do, I'd be like doing my album. Mm-hmm. I really felt like I was good, so I didn't even do tours. I was just in a whole box where I wasn't like nobody else. Mm-hmm. And so I'd just give money away just to get out of my face, like, oh, you know, because I kind of started knowing that people was fake around me and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's like, whatever. I had friends around me that was stealing. I knew they were stealing. I was like, whatever. So so I don't know. That's kind of like was my thing. I did splurge an awfully lot.
Okay, so those were your splurges. What were some of the responsible things, if any, that you felt like you did? Like, can you look back and say, damn, that was solid. I did that. And I that was a solid move, or I'm still reaping that.
I got a couple of things. Yep, I got a couple of things. It was some people I gave money to, too. It was a lawyer of mine, too, that really did me a solid because I was blowing through a bunch of money. And what they did was they just kept some money on the side. So, you know, they knew what I was doing because they seen the numbers coming through. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, oh, I'm going to just put this aside.
They didn't tell you.
They didn't tell me about it until I was like just running through it. And it slowed down just a tad bit. And it was like, I was like, yeah, I could use another half a mil or 2 mil, whatever, like that type of thing, right? And it was like, they let me suffer a little bit, like, oh, what I'm going to do? And then it was like, oh, we got this. But they helped me out with a plan of action too. Mm-hmm. So they'd be like, oh, you're going to get this allowance of $20,000 a month or so, you know, something like that.
Right.
And they wouldn't let me touch it. And that was the deal it actually worked out good. So I left it there and then I just worked my tail off. So everything else would be, it'll be good. Mm-hmm. And then it's like a bonus. So it's probably still going on to this day. You know what I'm saying? Because it's enough there. Mm-hmm. And I signed it like that. So
it
wasn't a big old deal. And to me, like, you know, we hustle. So I mean, it's money out here to get. Like, right. I just wake up and do whatever I want to do.
I mean, they print money all the time. It's out there. Yeah, you just got to go get it.
It's nothing to do right now. To me, I feel like everything that happened is dope to me because I'm here. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the number is like, right? So the fact that, you know, you could pick the time that you want to be happy with the money, right? So here's what I do. I balance it off. I got family, right? So nothing really is more valuable than the family. So I spend 2 or 3 days out the week working. Any day I work 2 days out the week, I'm making the money. So, right. So it ain't nothing I can't do that I can't make money within 2 or 3 days. Mm-hmm. Right. I just feel like that's what I can do with my eyes closed. So now I have a good balance where you got people who care about you, love you, and then you can spend money on people that you care about and love. And then what I do the best is I give to people on good soil, right? So let's say the soil, meaning that's a good person over there. My guy right there is a good person. He just needs, like, you know, 5 racks or whatever, and he could turn his business around. So he's a hustler. I see him do it all the time. He just missing a little bit. So I have no problem with doing it. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to be successful because I know how he operates. Mm-hmm. So to me, the balance is, and I could, before COVID, I just hop on the road for a weekend, mm-hmm. bring a bag back. Out of 5 days, I'm good to go with the fam. So I just found how to be. And then some stuff, you know, you do other stuff where we could bring a bigger bag in.
Right.
And then, but it'd be a little more work. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
I can attest to that too, mm-hmm. Slam, because, I mean, you do me like that.
I do.
You know what I'm saying? You do me like that. Anytime that there's something, you always call me, hey, man, I got something for you. Hey, I want to make you a part of this. Man. So you really do throw them out oops like that. Yeah.
But you consistent, though, Court. Like, you been the same person. Even my bro, like, my bro talk highly about you, too. You've been the same person as far as I know you.
Yeah.
It's been like this. Mm-hmm. So I think when you have people around you like that, you just, you got to salute them and you got to extend your hand. I mean, you do the same thing. You'll do the same thing to me.
Yeah,
for sure. You're not going to, if I call you, you'd be like, whatever. But so I think if you get enough good people around mm-hmm. who's go-getters, hungry, good-hearted, because all that other stuff is over. Like, only thing I'm saying is, I ain't playing no games with nobody that's gonna try to harm us and our family, right? Other than that, we get into the money. I think that's just consistent how I am. I ain't trying to be tough because I ain't tough.
Yeah.
I'm just
we older, we past.
But you know one thing about you, ain't never seen nobody gonna play them games, whatever. Yeah. But that's just as a respect thing. But other than that, we trying to get it and help people out. And that's all I'm on. I ain't really worrying about the other
right.
stuff. Yeah. That's
it. So, I mean, here it is, you know, as a brand, No Limit, mm-hmm. it's flying high. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. UPC, I mean, the whole roster. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as we know, bam, you know what I'm saying? Bro, C, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? C Murder, mm-hmm. Corey, mm-hmm. he gets hit with the M. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What was that like? Because now you got a brother. You know, deceased, and now you got a brother facing, you know, potential life.
So I started writing this. I started doing this thing called you'll like this. I've been doing it for like the last 3 weeks. So it's called My Brother's Keeper, right? So people don't realize me being the youngest, right? So this all affects me like the most, meaning that I see it all. So you got like, my brother got killed. You got C that's in jail, and you got P that's successful. So I got 3 different angles and I'm balanced though. So I'm right down the middle, right or wrong. I'm right down the middle. And I think that,
never looked at it like that, Slim. That's interesting.
No, it's crazy. And I, you know, what somebody told me, my boy from Detroit was like, man, you ever, because it's a lot on me, because I don't think about nothing else. Like, I'm good, like, as far as everything. So even my bros and them, it's like, love them all. But I'm just going to be me consistently, right? So I could give you 1,000 reasons why I think that C is a good guy, give you 1,000 reasons why I think that P is a good guy, and rest in peace to my brother Kevin, which is like, was my A1. Like, he would be like, he would hustle to make sure I'm good. But I'm the little brother, so, right? So that's, and you know with P, the same thing, and C would jump through a roof, same thing. They all would do it for me. So I would do it for them the same way. So I hate the fact that, you know, sometimes in our personal life, whatever, mm-hmm. it becomes public. But yeah. everybody really care about each other equally. We might bump heads, so right? So we sure. might say X, Y, Z. I will tell both of them the same thing. If, mm-hmm. you know, they might not want to hear from me, but I'm like, don't call me if you don't want to hear the triple nobody, because you guys can either call me or don't call me at all. I'm just going to be living my life. But I'm not saying I'm right, but I'm out of it. So I'm not technically, but, you know, at the same time, because... personally, we're on the streets, so of course P might do more for me. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, C, without needing anything from nobody, right? I think as somebody who's innocent in jail, so right. it's a big difference from being innocent
right.
and from being guilty. Mm-hmm. So if he was guilty of the crime for real, I just go visit him and put some money on his books. I'm like, yep, see when I see you, my guy, because right. that's just the standard of how whatever they give you, they give you. But the part that hurt the most is innocent. And I think as family sometimes, the need trumps everything else. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if y'all two, who's right or wrong, mm-hmm. but if you was in jail court for life, I think you trump my need a little bit more.
Right, right.
Because he's out here, got his little studio, you know, whatever.
Right.
But you in there with, you know, and I just feel like I got to balance it off.
Yeah.
I try to balance it off and be honest with both, with all my family. And you know, P get a raw stick of it sometimes too, because when you're at the top of it, they expect you to do everything.
Exactly.
But I think he tries, he wants to.
Yeah.
But, you know, just stuff like that. Well, we have that communication. We talk about that. Mm-hmm. People don't see it, so they don't know what the full dynamics are.
Right, right, yeah. right. I get accused a lot, especially because of the social media.
Mm-hmm.
And even internally, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it's layers to mm-hmm. our family and mm-hmm. our thing of defending P a lot. You know what I'm saying?
As you should.
Yeah. And what it is, it's not necessarily defending him, but he's only a man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not God. You know what I mean? Like, he can only do so much. And I think a lot of people hold him to, I feel they hold him to a unrealistic standard that they can't even hold themselves to. And he's not perfect. I mean, we know that. We'll be the first to say that. That's my brother too. You know what I mean? But I think that sometime he kind of, like you said, I think he gets, it's a little unfair. You know what I mean? The expectation sometimes.
Well, it's, you know what it is? It costs to be the boss, right?
That's true. Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
It is. Yeah. And so I wouldn't dare go out, even on this show, any show, and even mention either way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to tell nobody what's right or what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to tell them directly, because
mm-hmm.
I'll tell C that too. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, if I talk to people, you know, whatever. So I feel like, but... It's a balance. Right. It's unbalanced, but it's a balance that us gonna have to figure that out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and let me clarify too. What I mean by that, mm-hmm. I mean by public opinion. I'm not speaking.
Yeah, yo, no,
you
I
know what I'm saying?
Got,
yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, because as it pertains to really family, family, and Miller, I don't get involved in that.
No, I.
You know,
that,
I'm
no,
saying
that,
the public. You know.
Yeah, that's your bro. I mean, you gotta think about it. You know, you gotta look at it like y'all grew up together,
right?
You and Cedarman grew up together, so you holding the person you know down like that, which is that's fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
I, but what I wouldn't let you or nobody do mm-hmm. is disrespect anybody with my last name
mm-hmm.
in the public, though.
Right,
so if I heard
absolutely.
You say, man, FC, then it's we all bets
oh,
off.
Yeah, yeah.
And me and you cool like that, but at mm-hmm. the same time, I wouldn't let nobody say nothing about him. Nobody,
right?
So
right.
my sister, nobody. So I think that as a friend, you could just keep it there.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
oh, I got you, my guy, whatever.
For sure.
And that's not disrespectful to C. That's just because you ain't never say nothing bad about C. You just say everything good about P, which is fair.
Yeah. I mean, because listen, family hit me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Sidebar, like, hey, you know, just be cool.
Yeah.
I was like, look, I don't have nothing to say. I'm talking public. Yeah. So I'm saying to the world, as y'all are judging this man, you know, back off. You know what I'm saying? Now, internally, I don't got nothing.
No, that's fair. And that's the thing. That's the reason why we could speak that way, because I'm not gonna say it. So somebody might want to say, I'm not saying nothing, because if I can't tell the whole thing on myself, everybody, I'm not gonna say anything, because that's just gonna be more and more few.
And at the end of the day, it's nobody's business. You know, that's the thing that I got kind of frustrated with during that time. Is it's nobody's business. Like, if your last name ain't Miller, shut up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Shut up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because what I felt like was a gatekeeper at that time. Like y'all in a room, you know, talking, having a family discussion, argument, whatever it is, and I'm at the door, you know, shutting the door behind me and telling everybody else, look, man, y'all go get you some business. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even in the room. You know what I mean? Go get you some business. So, you know, but that's the world that we in. Social media. They want the caption. Yeah, they want the salaciousness.
But you see, that's why I operate how I operate. I mean, this is probably you, my guy, so we just talking candy.
Sure,
but I don't even say nothing publicly. You see how I'm under the radar. But but at the same time, that's kind of like when you put yourself out there, you could expect a lot. So if I say something, I'm gonna expect opinions either way.
Yeah.
I respect them if I say something. That's why I keep it just like this, because you're not going to know who I care about more, because I don't care about them more.
Right.
I care about, listen, you could have your favorite basketball team. Well, you could understand that part, but at the same time, the world wouldn't know that. Mm-hmm. I just feel like at some time, some people need more than others.
Yeah, yeah.
So if that ever comes out like that, then that's fair, and that's fair game. Mm-hmm. But I just pray for my bro C, because he's innocent.
For sure.
And I don't know I've been there. I've been there. So I don't really wish that on anybody.
For
so
sure.
if I could do this, if I could just get him out and oh, he can get free tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. I would fade into the bliss. Mm-hmm. You ain't even got to call me. You too. None of y'all ain't got to call me. No, we good.
Yeah.
And I wish best for both of y'all, right? That's kind of like, that's more important to me, that both of my brothers are successful.
Right.
My sister's successful. My grandpa. Like, if y'all could do that, I'll be good, because I'm gonna go make what I got to make. I do it all the time. You know how I do it all the time. So I ain't asking none of them for, even though I could go to either one.
Yeah.
And they'll give me straight off their back. But if you guys are all right, so my whole thing is, P's a hustler, he's gonna be all right, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. C is locked up doing a L with no parole. That right there, until that get up out of there, that's just gonna be heavy on our heart no matter what, right? So I just feel like if we could just get that, and then if C be like, any kind of way, we love you, I love you, whatever, you ain't even got to call me. Because once you get out of that, that's like, okay, that's a burden right there. Cool. Live your life. Have fun. We get together. And same with everybody in my whole family.
Yeah.
Nobody ain't got to really call me like that. I ain't really got to talk to nobody like that. But I love everybody. Mm-hmm. But if anybody has like negative or has anything stupid to say or dumb to say, then I'm just living my life. I'm just waking up in the morning, going, having fun, doing what I'm doing. And that's good for me. The only thing that ain't good for me is having somebody that's your brother, because it's just four of us. And they doing that innocently.
Yeah.
Okay, how much money you got, or how much money you making, how many jokes you make, whatever. When you think of that, that's gonna trump everything. So anyway, that's
kind of, I think the chances are of C getting a fair shake.
I think eventually he's gonna get out. Mm-hmm. I think he's gonna get out because he's innocent. So everybody know who actually did it, right?
Right.
So I think that somebody's just gotta fight for him consistently, and you see that the world is evolving on accountability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They purposely put him in there. for that reason, because they get away with so much. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Where I'm from, when I was growing up.
It was careers made off of
No question. Yeah. And let me tell you what's crazy part about it is, when I was growing up, I'd be with my boys, whatever, right? And then my dude would be like, boom, they got him, took him off the street, say he did something, blah, 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 30 years, Angola, boom, right? And I was like, this is crazy. This is a good dude. I know he didn't do it, but maybe he did. Maybe one day he just flipped out and did it, right? I found out all of my friends were just snatched up to fill Angola up to work for the next 30 years, right? Wow. And you think that, and I don't want to talk about this too much, but what's happening with the police and stuff like that, you think that just happened? Mm-hmm. No, it just the phones just got a little bit more clear. They got we got the big phones
got better
now,
footage.
And you got camera, you got everything.
Yeah.
The Ring doorbells, stuff like that, right?
It's being caught now just more often.
Yeah. So when I was growing up, I was like, bam, they killed my boy because he reached for the cop gun. I'm like, why would you do something stupid like that, Ray Ray? You know, like, right? Come to find out, I'm realizing Ray Ray would never do that because he's not like that. Mm-hmm. But if they say it, then it's like, it's law.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to question the books
unless
you have one of these, right? So I looked at it, I said, man, you know, the dude I talked about in the Miss Mahomie song, that was a real dude. Mm-hmm. They say that he had a scuffle with a police officer and they shot him, boom. And I'm thinking back, I say, man, why would you do some stuff like that? Just lay your butt down and get your handcuffs. And I realized that was just the thing they was doing. They were just doing it back then. And they was getting away with it because it's Louisiana. So same thing with C. It's like, careers was made off of it. Same with Mac, too.
Yeah.
Careers made off of it, right? And, you know, it was just one of those things where he got caught up in it. I'm not going to lie to you that, you know, it's a place where sometimes you have to sit down for a little bit.
Yeah.
I get that part. But what they doing to him now is unacceptable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, that's sad. I mean, Free C Murder, you know,
absolutely.
I got a chance to, when I first came to No Limit in 95, 96, when we were in Oakland, you know, I got a chance to be around him a little bit, you know what I mean? He was always cool, cordial. I could tell that he was an independent thinker, you know what I'm saying? He stood on his own, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But always was very personable with me, you know what I mean? So, yeah, Free C, you know. But transitioning from that, once the music thing took off, you started transitioning to acting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what? Whose idea was that? Was that bro, or was that something that you just said, hey, you know what? I think I want to do this acting thing.
You know what's funny? It's crazy because I got a lot of calls to the office for acting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was like, I mean, I got, you know, a movie I was supposed to do was Drumline. But Nick Cannon wasn't even supposed to be in it. I was doing Drumline, and if something happened on the set, but I was
For which role? For Nick Cannon?
For Nick Cannon role.
Oh,
yep.
Wow.
Nick Cannon, yep. And I was
how is that going to happen? People don't realize how tall you are. I mean, it was 6'6", 6'7"?
I'm 6'5". 6'5".
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, no, it worked. It was work because they did the on-screen thing, whatever, and the person they had for me was it worked. Mm-hmm. So it just would have been, I had to grow some braids and stuff like that. But something happened where I was getting so much money, I didn't like the way it was kind of going, and I just kind of said, "Nah, I'm out of here." But they already had casted me pretty much already for it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. You know what's funny? It was Keyshawn Johnson was in there too.
Really?
It was out of me and him. I don't know what that meant, but it was me and him. I don't think Nick Cannon was even in it at first. Mm-hmm. So
did you audition for it?
Yeah, I did. Okay.
I got it.
I got it. Yep, I got it.
Wow.
And but you know, being from the Cali, or some stuff happened.
You couldn't get with the Hollywood vibe.
It was some stuff that was like a little weird that I didn't like, that I would never stand for, type of thing.
Like on set or with the business?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
A little bit of both. You know what I'm saying? But nothing crazy, crazy, but it was just like, I operate a little different. So what we did was I got a lot of roles that people want to do for me. I took some of them. I took that one movie, Ice-T. They paid me a bunch. You might have never seen it before, but we shot it in Russia.
Okay.
And they,
what's the name of it?
It was called.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's just pull up me and Ice-T.
Uh-huh.
And they paid me. They paid me paid me that No Limit money, so I was good. But the dude shot it, I think, in Czech Republic or something like that. Uh-huh. I did a couple of them, and then we decided to do. I think P did Last Don movies. So I was in that. Then we did Hot Boys.
Mm-hmm.
So that was crazy. And then
in Hot Boys, you was a lead.
I was lead, yep.
So what was that like, your first leading role? I mean, actually having to show up most of the time and, you know, do all the dialogue and just the requirements of being an actor. Because there's a lot. People think it's all glamorous and shit, but that shit be work.
Corrupt.
Yep, corrupt. So it was good. It was good because they gave me a lot of leeway. I was able to do, you know, I was natural at it, though. Mm-hmm. I was like, once I got past the, like, the little shyness of being on camera, it was easy. Like I got it quick. That's why even some movies I do now, like I produce, we actually doing right now. We scheduled to do, like, I start May 6th or something like that. We're going to do it in North Carolina or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm good at writing. You know, I'm good at writing scripts. And I'm good at producing and directing. So the moment in family, I did that. So that was on Lionsgate. And that superseded what they was talking about. So, but the only thing about, you know, about films is the timing. It takes a long time.
Yeah,
like, you know, we go on the road now. We we get a nice little bag. We 20 minutes. We hop off the stage. And so, but when you producing something, it's like, man, you gotta be there. You gotta cast. You gotta direct.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so that's a 6 month process. You know what I'm saying? And you know, you get a nice little check, but. That's a big process. But now I feel like I got the balance where I want to do it more, and they're paying a lot more, of course. You know? So I got a couple of cool little deals in place, so it's cool. Yeah.
Okay, so Silk the Shocker, as a solo artist, you sold what, 10 mil? About
between 9 and 11 million, something like that.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. Wow, and that's only between what, maybe four albums?
Like five albums.
Five albums,
yeah. Like four or five, yeah.
Wow, that's dope. So, as I said before, I mean, the irony of Silk the Shocker, I mean, you birthed a lot of these new guys, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, off and on, it's like, you know how they do. They love you at first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they set you up to, they love you, then they ridicule you, you know what I mean? So for so many years, you got, you know, some people love it. Some people would always say, Silk off beat, Silk rap funny. He do this and do that. And now that's like a whole phenomenon. So now you had, of course, you had Blueface, which everybody said. They was like, man, that's Silk. Yeah, shout out to Blueface. But now the Detroit sound, that's really just, that's Silk the Shocker. You know what I mean? That rapping ahead of the beat and doing that, that's, you know, so... I mean, what do you think about that with the new cast? As you see that, you like, that's me.
You know what? It's funny because I'm actually okay with it because they actually give me props. Like, I think I met T Grizzly, cool people. Blueface really is talented. I know people be like, oh, you know, whatever. But
I like Blueface. Yeah. He's charismatic. He brings that. Yeah,
he's like good in a sense. And you know what people realize, don't realize, even with myself, if you go back now, and I was telling you about the guys in Atlanta, you know, if you know music, right? So everybody who got it, if you're not like a person who's just don't really get it. So if you like country music, you're not going to like it, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're a real person who knows, like you said, oh, I bumped that Shocker record, right? So you like, I bumped it, right? So you got it. You was open-minded and like, I see what he's doing. Nobody was like, I'm offbeat. No, you was listening offbeat. If I was offbeat, you listening offbeat. Everything if you go back and listen right now, you'd be like, oh, wow, he was on. I did it myself. I'm like, played it. So the best part about it is that the artists give me props on it. Like, it's like the Migos. It's like French Montana's. Like, you know, everybody, Gucci Mane, like, they all saluted. Like I say, even Cute and them was like, well, baby, I see a lot of him in you. You know what I'm saying? Like, so to me, I respect it because ain't nobody been like, oh, man. They actually said, man, Shaka, you was doing your thing. We was all fans of it. So to me, it feels good that I don't know about I get the Blueface thing, but I think that's his style. And just like me, he's misunderstood. But if you really listen to him, it's actually really good. And that's how I was.
I don't know that he's misunderstood because his numbers reflect.
That's what I'm saying. My number reflected too.
Yeah, so, you know what I mean?
I feel like in Northern California at the time, though, when you were coming out, the reason that we all listened to it is we were a cut. So the whole world was listening to, what's this, early 90s, right? So the whole world's listening to Snoop coming off of Dre. And it's a different type of rap. But in Northern California and the people, like in KC, we always talk about it being sister cities. Mm-hmm. We were listening to E-40. E-40 was off base.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right, like yeah. We were listening Turf Talk and his groups
right.
that he was putting out. They were rapping off beat.
Yeah.
Right.
And so like we had an ear for that already.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, yeah. We liked that sound that already sense. As it was coming out.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So.
And me, you know, being a former rapper, I got it as well.
I mean,
because I rap fast, you mm-hmm. know. And what it's funny because I don't know that it's necessarily offbeat. It was more technical, like because you got people that do it differently. Like you had E-40, mm-hmm. you know, but then you had like E-40 to me, he kind of went with the pocket of the hi hat. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then you got Sugar Free, who kind of is somewhat like E-40. Mm-hmm. I think what it was with you when you talk about bars, you mm-hmm. know, you would. I think it was because you would stop and go. You know what I mean? Like you may say something on one bar and then pause for a second, then catch it, just say it differently, the staccato of what you were saying on the second bar. So it just wasn't linear. It just wasn't like that. It was like, you know what I'm saying? Then stop, then start here, then jump over here and start. Mm. But it was creative. And I think that was a testament of your genius at the time. You know what I mean?
I did feel that way. At the time, I felt really good. And all my stuff was designed that way, mm-hmm. right? So it wasn't like it was, if I stopped and start, it really was designed to stop and start. Mm-hmm. So people who was listening wrong, that was kind of on them. Mm-hmm. But if you got it, you understood exactly what it was. And you didn't want me to be like everybody else.
Right.
You wanted me to be.
Yeah, it was a different time. You were supposed to be different.
What did 40 say? I ain't rapping too fast. You just listening too slow?
Too slow.
Yeah, so, you know, so yeah. you just got to think like, I was just doing me. So, okay, I went double platinum. I went
right.
I had my first time, double platinum second time.
Right.
Somebody got it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And like the Shocker had to go at least with damn near gold. Because that was still, that was before Priority.
It was wait, yeah, no.
Was that Priority?
I don't think it was, but
if it was, I mean, it had to at least go gold.
No, it went past gold.
Okay.
It went past gold. Like everything I did, I think for the first couple years mm-hmm. went like, I went, what, Charge the Game, went double platinum and Made Man. Went double platinum, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but I mean, for the most part, yeah, I feel good about it. And it's crazy because like I said, the same people were saying, oh, no. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah. So rap like that Silk now. They want me to go back and rap like that old Silk, which is funny, but yeah, that's pretty much it. So,
you know, now in 2021, mm-hmm. I mean, what is Silk the Shocker up to now? I mean, I know, mm-hmm. but you know, mm-hmm. for the people, you know what I'm saying? What you got cracking out? Because that's why I want to have you come on the show, bro. Because you know, I tell you all the time, mm-hmm. Silk, they want to hear from you. They want to hear from you. You got to step out the shadows. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you've always been kind of an enigma, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And people are always curious mm-hmm. and you don't do many interviews, much media. You've mm-hmm. always been laid back. Mm-hmm. But you know, like they say, still waters run deep. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
So what do you have going on now? Like in 2021?
So that's a good question, my guy. So do you see this thing right here? This is my new water company, which I love.
Okay.
It's the best thing ever. This already got this place in so many places already, but for the most part, films. I got the Vito record coming out now. Mm-hmm. I got the marketing company, which is like really good. We're working on two films and one doc. Mm-hmm. Got a couple products, whatever. Mm-hmm. So the name of the game is have business that you work for. They have business that works for you when you're not working. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so I just try to balance it off. My catch is now that I do whatever I want to do. So, and everything I do, for the most part, you know, pretty much successful. Like, mm-hmm. If I wake up tomorrow, I got a couple things I want to do. And this last 8 months been really good because we was kind of just sticking and moving with mm-hmm. it. But I think through this type of time, it allowed me to really flush out the stuff. Mm-hmm. And since we at home, how you get the money from home.
Yeah.
Which has actually been better for me. So I would say, yeah, like product stuff, man. Like definitely a few businesses that we launched, whatever. Mm-hmm. Helping other people. I just opened my own gym, whatever. Mm-hmm. Little basketball gym.
Dope. Congratulations.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, look, coming together pretty good. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just, besides with the fam.
I mean, speaking of basketball, yeah. I mean, your sons are playing basketball. I mean, yeah. We see nephew is going to TSU,
yeah.
You know, Hersey Miller.
Mm-hmm.
What's your sons? Because I know they deep off into basketball, too. Where they headed?
We working on my oldest son. He got a couple places he might go. Then my youngest son is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm humbly speaking, but, you know, they way up at the top, whatever. But Victorious King, Bellagio, all of them, they up there.
Because King is what? He's about 6'5", 6'6"?
Yeah, you seen it. Yep, yeah. About the crazy. Yep, you're going crazy, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I mean, like, you just balance it off. This next week is going to be good. We producing a show. It's actually, it's good, man. It's good, good stuff. That's good stuff.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. I'm not going to lie to you. This been a good last 6-7 months because I was able to be more creative. I got a little more time because you know how we are. We always moving so much. Mm-hmm. But this mm-hmm. kind of slowed everything down because what I used to do was have an event every weekend, right? Mm-hmm. So that way I'll just go grab some paper and come back home. But this one had me being able to go in the office and just plan more.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I planned, it been super dope. Like this stuff right here has already got like – almost close to 40 stores,
a couple
colleges, a couple high schools and stuff. So, yeah. No,
hey, but you know, that's what bro taught us, you know, product.
Yeah.
Oh, outweighs talent.
You
know what I'm saying? That's his saying, product outweighs talent.
But you can have both. You can have both, you know, like if you have talent and product, then you're really good. So I try to balance it all. But that's true to you. I mean, you got to have product. Because you got to sell something.
Right.
People are either you buyers or sellers. Mm-hmm. And you got to be both.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're selling something, you my dog, I'm buying it.
That's
you selling
Jody
something, I'm
said.
Buying it. Yeah.
That's what Jody said,
right? Yes, sir.
Yeah. But sellers, you should buy from me, too. You know, as we buy from each other. And
yeah, we get a case of water.
Yeah. I appreciate it. I got you something. I got you. You know what I'm saying? We sling this water. That's it. That's
so when we going to see, we need a Silk the Shocker rap snack. Because people ask me about it all the time.
Okay. Okay.
We need to know why Silk ain't on the rap snack. We need that.
Well, you cool with the CEO, right? You
know, I'm here, bro. Raise hell.
But you know what? It's funny. The thing about it is, bro, it's kind of like it's all timing. So to me, if that's to happen, that happens. If not, we don't really like with all of us, even yourself included.
Mm-hmm.
It's a yes, yes, yes for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I ask him, I'm sure he'll get it.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Sure. But I feel like if it's organic, it'll be there. But if I told
him. Because the fans ask me. They
I know.
Ask me all the time.
Oh, they sent me a whole, like somebody did a mock-up and everything. I was going to post about. I was like,
got the mock-up too?
Yeah, I got a mock-up.
I got the mock-up.
You do? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I got
cool.
it too.
Okay. Yeah. So I got to find it on my phone somewhere. But if you haven't sent it to me.
Yeah.
But somebody, I got, actually, I might think about my own chips or whatever. But, they had a dope little flavor for me. I'm like, okay.
What was the flavor?
They had one salt and vinegar. I like that one.
Okay.
If you
could do your own flavor, what would it be? If you came up with your own Silk the Shocker rap snack, what would it be?
I want something simple. What about salt and pepper? Like, you know, like.
Salt and pepper chip?
What you think? What you think?
Really?
I mean, I think you should go totally left because I see Uncle P's rice and you should do the whole light bulbs and electrical lines and shoot a shocker. You know what I mean?
I'm not mad at that.
You know what I mean? Flat screen TV.
I'm not mad at that.
Come on.
He got some money. I remember you want. Let's talk about this business.
Come on, Witty.
We could take on G&E, the electric company. You know what I mean?
That's kind of smart too because.
Yeah, extension cords.
Yeah.
Anything. They run power.
Electric plug.
Wow.
That's really
we gonna talk.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Make sure you don't leave out the sound of paperwork.
Yeah, right.
Trademark, copyright. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, he ain't got no paperwork. You know what I'm saying? But that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that
sour candy. Oh, that's shocker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was thinking like we have to start. I mean, you got to try to find stuff that he ain't doing because he's doing everything.
Right.
But,
right.
But I think that I think that got into the tech world a little bit.
Yeah.
Just like balancing it out because whatever you put your time into court, it's like it's gonna work.
Yeah,
like everything,
for sure.
Everything I've done like lately, bro, has been like boop. But it's also we know people.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, okay, so if y'all got water here, you could buy the water here. You're gonna buy some water anyway. You know what I'm saying? Miles, of course, you're gonna buy some water, come holler at me.
For sure.
But you're gonna buy water. You're gonna do it. So I have it. So And then start creating other brands that we use on a daily basis. If it's chairs, whatever, like make our own chair, like you say, make our own light bulbs.
Right.
You're gonna get your phone charger, right? You got a phone charger, right? So let's make some.
I mean, shit, Juvie selling lamps.
Is he?
Yeah, Juvie selling lamps, designer lamps. Juvie?
Yeah, that might be something we could put up. Yeah. The lamps, the lighting bolts,
selling
lamps.
No bullshit. Yeah,
I do like the what is the water called?
Recharge.
I like that.
Yeah, it's good too.
I swear I've seen it before because I didn't want to say nothing. Like I'm thinking like, damn, I just seen it. This is my bro, and I didn't even know it was
here. It's doing good. Yeah, but how I did it was I did it. I made it organic, and I started with a couple events and. I got a big announcement that I'll tell you off camera, but it took off so fast just by people knowing each other. Mm-hmm. So somebody gave me this big this contract. Now the only problem is I got to supply so much water, but I mean, who cares? Like at the end of the day, is I'm getting paid for it, but they want so much initially. So that's gonna be a whole different subject. But yeah, that's it. No, just about us just constantly trying to figure out what. Put our time into.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, I'm going to ask you one other question. I mean, and this is a question I kind of pose to everybody. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, with the current climate, with the Black Lives Matter and the whole, you know, George Floyd thing, what is your, where do you stand with that, with police reform? And, you know, how do you feel about that? What do you think could be done? Even if you think it's a problem or it's not? I mean, you know.
You know what? I'm friends with the Floyd family. It's funny because they hit me up a couple of times. We talk just some minor advice, stuff like that. But bigger than that, it's a culture that we in. I think that for the most part, you know, let's not lump everybody together, first of all, right? So let's say we come from the hood, but we ain't all bad, right? So we gonna say cops are not all bad. I know they're not because I talk to cops. Some of them really want to get it right. Some of them really want to be like, if I see court, how you doing, court? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you got your tail light broke. Let's talk about it. And then some of them, like, it's just like so much aggression to us.
Right.
And I feel like that those are the problem because, you know, if you're in my parking spot, if I come to you and be like, Mr. Court, can you move your car back a little bit? You'd be like, oh, no, bro, I got you. But if I come to you, man, you no.
Yeah, right.
And then you're going to be tone. I think the tone is like, it's at an all-time crazy. And I talk to good cops and they be like, so we just trying to make it home to our fam. But I got some that they just instigated. So I think we're going to have to figure out and either you want to be good or bad, but it can't be both. And so I think with the reform, if we do it this way, because I like what they're doing in Louisville and Minnesota, right? They're going to do an investigation. So that way you get the people out of there and then you put people in the right spot. Like, okay, instead of me going to your hood court, let me get somebody to come talk to you first instead of like pulling up with 17 cars. You're like, whatever. Because that's going to make you feel uneasy. Like I see people get killed just for moving the wrong way or whatever, right? But that's not, listen, let me tell people right now. This is a real fact. I know opposite color of us. I know we was treated bad in the slavery days and all that type of stuff. None of us think about, well, at least nobody I've ever met in my life ever thinks about reparation on another color because what they people did for us back in the days. We all about being treated good now. Okay, let me just tell you this, that people that I know, I'm sure you know the same thing. Nobody of our color is gonna kill a cop. Let's be honest. Like,
right. It's not something that we typically do.
Let me tell you something right now. Let me tell you something right now, bro. We might do each other, but
we run from the
police. We ain't about to mess with a opposite color than us because we know what kind of reputation that is.
Yeah, yeah.
And we ain't about to do nothing to no cops. So the cops could really not be so aggravated about it because I promise you, ain't nobody driving a car saying, when this cop, they ain't gonna do it. Every person I know in this world has never told me, when a cop run up on me, I'm going to do it. So I think we could dial it back. The cops have all the rights. I think if they could just communicate with us,
right?
I think we'd be like, man, whatever you need, we got it. Because we need cops. We ain't going to lie. We need good cops to police all the neighborhoods correctly. And I promise you, they'll get all the respect because we know what kind of time come with disrespecting the cop. We know what kind of time come with harming a cop. Nobody I know that, and I've been around a lot of hard hitters, you know what I'm saying? You too. Yeah, real talk. None of y'all ain't never said, we're going to try to get a cop. That just ain't communicating that. So I think that, and then if people are different color than us, you don't have to be afraid of us because literally we ain't never thinking about what happened in the past. We looking at how y'all treating us right now. And that's just the fact of it. So I think, I don't know, we have to reform it because I think coming at a different approach than kicking out somebody's door and expecting them to harm you back, they ain't doing it unless you don't knock on the door and tell them, I'm coming in the door.
So it starts with the training. Like for me, it's the training. And it comes down. It's the culture as well. You know, because sometimes, like of course, we have flat out racism.
Yeah,
and then you have implicit bias, right? Okay. But then they have this thing that I've learned because I've been gaffled by the police, right?
Yeah.
It's racism, but sometimes it's placism too, meaning stay in your place. It's a power struggle.
That's true. Yeah,
a lot of the police, they want to win. They want to win the argument. They want to win the fight. They want to win the ticket. They want to win. So, and that's where the training comes in to where they need to, you know, learn some people skills and learn how to de-escalate. Because at the end of the day, you know, I'm still a man. We're still people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you're being paid a salary to do a job. Like, you aren't God. So, okay, I might be dead ass wrong. Mm-hmm. But that don't give you, you know what I mean, license to come and try to dehumanize me and cause shit escalates. It could be something very simple, but I've been dealt with so heavy-handedly by the police over something simple, right? And to be quite frank, you know, when the police come around me, I don't feel safe. I'm even at 44, bro. Like when they come around, I automatically feel suspect. I feel like, oh, what? I did something? You know what I mean? I start thinking like, man, let me leave, you know, and it's just because of the experiences, you know, it's always and all cops aren't bad. That I know some of that is in my head because I've been some cool ass cops.
Yeah.
I remember getting stopped in Hollywood one time. I guess I was in my S550 back when they first came out and my windows was tinted.
Mm-hmm. You remember my silver one with the strut grill?
It was like 04? 04?
No, it was like 07. 07, 08. Okay. And so they
had the thick windows?
Nah, this was a new body. With the,
I thought that was a big body.
No, I had that one too. Yeah. No, I had
discuss the big bodies and small bodies.
Yeah. And so, man, they literally stopped me and they stopped me for the windows. Mm-hmm. But come to find out, they ran my license and it was some type of issue with my license came up that I had a warrant from 1984. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was born in 76. So they knew that was wrong, right? And so basically they told me, they was like, we really just wanted to stop you to see who was in the car because the car was nice.
Okay.
And so dude pulled me out the car and I already knew I was going to jail. You know, I was riding how we ride, you know what I'm saying? So I call my old lady. I'm like, look, I'm in Hollywood. They're probably going to take me to the Hollywood because I already knew. I know how they got me down bad right now. Mm-hmm. So dude pulled me out the car. He was like, man, check this out. He's like, man, we could put your car up on the tow, you know, and take it. He's like, man, we ain't going to do that. He said, under one condition. He said, man, you got to train us. I said, you want me to train you? He was like, man, I'm trying to lose this weight, bro. Mm. He was like, both of us, man, we work out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got to telling me how, if I was a cop, they got to telling me how, yeah, man, we took this Hollywood beat because, man, we ain't trying to be chasing no gangsters and this is easy. And then they get to telling me how chicks love dudes in uniforms.
I got it.
And then telling me, man, you would clean up if you was a cop. I'm telling you, you should, you know, so they end up being cool. They end up being cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've ran into, you know, some that are decent, but the culture needs to shift, you know what I mean? Like, you know, police have to understand that, man, we're human.
Yeah.
And it's funny because they'll see a dude that fits the profile with dreads sagging his pants. Mm-hmm. You know, and just to be honest with you, they always see the criminality. They always equate us to criminality.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, dude, he a bitch in the hood. You know what I'm saying? You just going off a rap video or something like that. He look like Mozzie, but he a ho-ho. Like, he ain't finna do nothing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they don't learn the culture, you know, to take time out to just communicate sometime. And I know the job is difficult. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think that the training needs to be altered, you know, and they need to really concentrate on de-escalating and understand the culture that you're policing.
Yeah.
You know, understand that just because he got dreads or just because the swag is that, that they don't always mean that, you know? And I think that they should not draw them guns or shoot that gun unless they being shot at, literally. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't say your life is in danger with somebody running from you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if a car is driving by you, or what I thought. You, yeah. I don't think, nah, you need to get another job.
I just think that they have to take a step back. I think that it's too much. I don't know if it's on purpose or it's just the way they approach just us. I don't know but I'm looking at it like the amount of how they approach it.
Yeah.
Right? It's like I've never really seen anything like it before where it could go from zero to 60 in like a millisecond. I'm like, how do you have the justification of something like that? Like what either you want to do this and that's your occupation to be like, I'm trying to stir this up and knock one of these people off, whatever, right? Because you can't fear for your, you're not fearing in your life. That's not anything. Okay, if somebody does something and they run away from you, you're not fearing. I don't think nobody, the way they talk, I don't think nobody pulls somebody over and really fear them like that. I think it's like you say, if you want to win,
and
you want to take this person out the element, and you want to see if I could get away with this or maybe, because if you was really afraid, you would approach the situation a little bit different. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you got four people around you, if you got four cops around you, you're not long scared of that situation.
But if you're that scared, you wouldn't be doing the job. You know what I'm saying? You know, but then think about it. I don't know, and we don't have to talk about this if you don't want to. But, I mean, think about the situation that you had way back in the day in the bank.
You see
what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Now, think about it, though, Slim. If you were white, what that had happened, what they had perceived you like that. You was in there doing real business, but they see your pistol sticking through through your shirt, and they automatically, he up to some bullshit, but you in there with some six-figure money. So why am I going to show up to cash a six-figure check and rob the bank? Like, that doesn't, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I would say but the perception of us is guilty to proven innocent. And I think that from what I look at it is that we are easier targets to, like I tell you about, none of us in our neighborhood is actually going to think about committing a crime against another color or that cop. So, but why? Because you know the consequence of that. So I think when you got no consequences of if I take you down, Really, no cop has ever really been convicted of taking you out, taking somebody out, right? Unless they got video of it, they shot him in the back, and they could totally prove. But ain't nobody convicting a cop. But ain't nobody convicting. Ain't nobody about to convict a cop 12-0, right? Like, I mean, like, you're not going to unanimously convict a cop. Like, it's not just going to happen unless it's, like, so much proof like they have now where they had to, like, you're my man next 9 minutes. Like, okay, that's, like, that's what it is, right? It's a video saying you was on my man. But if it was a reaction thing, that would never happen. So anyway, I think looking at us as e-target, because if I told you nobody never been convicted of it, you would just be like, so you trying to tell me 14,000 people robbed this particular bank and nobody got caught before? I mean, listen, I like my chances. 14,000 to zero, I like, my chance is good. Give me the money. Like, you know, so, but. And then you
give it a money.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the chances is like you could keep doing those chances.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Like, there's some people in the hood, like coward. It's just like, you shouldn't be in there doing this, right? Boom, he's selling. Like, give me this here, boy. Get out of here. Take it again. He's trying to make a little few extra dollars, but you know that he ain't about that. Right. And then all of a sudden, he said, today ain't the right day. And you go mess with him today, and that'd be your day. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what's happening now, where they starting to see, like, I think it's about who's in office. I think who's about, like, new leadership. Because right now we had a situation right now where it's good and evil, right? So either you want it to be fixed with good or you want to be evil. Like, they have people that's going both either way. And this is going to be a tough time for us to say who's going to win?
Right.
Like, it's scary, bro. It's a scary time. And
because you said that, I want to highlight this part too. You know what I mean? Because, you know, like you said, we know where we come from and people having an idea who Silk the Shocker is, mm-hmm. basically through the lyrics, you know, gangster rapper, whatever, whatever. You know what I mean? But a lot of people don't know, and I know you to be, and I hope you don't mind me saying that you are really a mild-mannered dude that really has a deep belief in God. Mm-hmm. Like, you really mm-hmm. a faith-based dude, mm-hmm. you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And you really don't even curse for real. You know, you really don't cuss like that. You know, where did that change come in? You know what I mean? To where you really just, you know what I mean, got into God like that?
I would just say, I mean, I do cuss when I, you know, if I'm doing music and stuff like that.
Well, no, I'm saying, yeah, in yeah, music. I'm yeah. talking about just in
oh, yeah, in life. General, I don't, yeah. it's not yeah. necessary. Like, I yeah. feel like, you know, I'm trying to raise kings. I'm trying to raise people to understand, like, what I do now, I got some stuff. I mean, we'll talk about it, but realistically, I try to lead by example. So I'm not saying I'm perfect, none of that type of stuff. I'm just telling you, because I was young, I know what loss means, right? I know what it feels like to be lost and nobody understands you. Because like I said, when I was growing up, they literally told me, you can't be in this house because you're not going to be around long enough. You're going to be killed in jail. So that's just like, so I know somebody who's broken, who feels like nobody understands them. They drowning in their pain, whatever it might be, and nobody understands them. So for me, I educated myself. You know, we had stuff that we did, you know, stuff out the air we had to deal with. Mm-hmm. And I know that the opportunity is for us to turn it around. So people like, you know me, I don't even go to clubs unless right. I'm getting right. paid for it. Like, I ain't really trying to, you know, be out there wilding like that. Mm-hmm. But that's not because I can't. That's just because I don't really see the purpose in it. Mm-hmm. And so with God blessing me I could have literally not, like, my family was correct on that. Like, yeah, statistically, if I was a bet man, I would have bet on what they were saying. Mm-hmm. I've been like, when I look back, I'm like, yep, y'all had it right. So I wasn't mad at them for saying it because everybody that was in our circle was going to jail, getting killed. So, and I was just as bad as all of them. Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying. But God is, even talking about the bank thing, like I was in super trouble. And I prayed and I told God that, you know, I'm going to change up if you don't give me these 10. You know what I'm saying? Whatever, right? So he didn't give it to me. Mm-hmm. So I'd be, and I'm not saying I'm perfect. I fell short, whatever, right? But end of the day, it's like I try to change because I want other people to change. I literally don't believe that young people really want to do that. Mm-hmm. If I gave them the money and the education, and I'm not saying I'm the end all ends. I know everything. I'm just telling you, I was a dude that was in the streets with the smoke. You know, and you could tell. Sure. And if you ask anybody, you'd be like, well, who was the worst one in the family? They'll tell you, right? But then I switched it. That's just the mercy, right? So I switched it up and I'm here. And how I'm here, I don't know. Listen, my family was correct. Those two things was definitely in my near future, right? But so now I'm like, what can I tell another person that think they really about that life? Mm-hmm. And another thing, just running around with all these women and stuff like that, mm-hmm. having 100 kids and stuff like that. Like, if you're young, you 16, 17, 18 years old, you got 5 kids, stuff like the 19, whatever, you're going to wake up and be like, damn, that's crazy because that's a big part of my life. So how do you transition from all those different things that now you really want to be a good, because you're going to get about 30 or whatever and be like, man, listen, damn, I messed up on this thing. Mm-hmm. Lord knows if you do something stupid and they give you that 25 mm-hmm. and you only 19 and you got about 20 of them to do, that's going to be a game changer for you. So what I try to do is literally just, it's tough to walk the walk and talk the talk.
It is.
So what I try to do is just literally, I don't need to just walk around just curse for no apparent reason.
Right.
I can, but it's not normal dialogue.
Right.
I'm not going to stop them from doing it. I just try to say, just have a purpose of whatever you're going to do. So try to learn from maybe like you say, what you said about the cops, they got to learn how to de-escalate the problem.
Right.
Listen, it was many times, you know, somebody did something, stepped on my shoes, right? And I'd be like, all right, whatever. Now, me saying that, you know, if I say that, cool, you know, it's like, it's up. Yeah. So it's really up, right? Yeah. But then I say, and I never seen that person again.
Right.
Because you know me, I had a bad temper, right? So I'm like, it's all the way up. But then I realized all those times that my young people doing it, they on a spur of the moment. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to recover from it. So Everything, all I'm telling you about, even knowing God, it ain't about being soft. It's just about I'm honoring, appreciating my blessings.
Right.
And my blessings won't allow me to just be doing dumb, stupid stuff. It's like if I ain't teaching people or trying to figure it out, I'm still the same person, but I mean, I ain't really worrying about nobody like that, but I'm trying to literally have somebody look at me so I could tell them, yo, fam, I was up all the way past you were, and it's going to turn out bad for you.
Yeah.
And they can listen. So, you know, for the most part, that's what I'm on. And I ain't trying to preach to the choir. I'm just telling
you. I mean, the same thing. I say that all the time, bro. I'm a living, breathing testament that God allows, you know, fools more time to get it right.
Sometimes.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So thank God for grace and mercy. You know what I mean? Because I know I ain't supposed to still be here, you know? So I had a whole lot of people praying for me. But man, I know you got to get out of here, bro. Mm-hmm. You know, on this show, bro, I just wanted to give you your flowers. You know what I'm saying? While you're still here, I believe in, you know, praising people and really appreciating them, you know, while they're here. So, I mean, you as a talent, you know, you as a brand, you as my friend, as my brother for 20 plus years. You know what I'm saying? I salute you. Always been a fan of you, always will be. You know, I'm a rock with you. You know, we do shit anyway.
Yeah.
You know how we rock. So, but yeah, I just wanted to give you flowers while you're here.
Appreciate
you coming to the show.
Appreciate it, my guy. Yes, appreciate it.
Yeah.
Appreciate my dude. Right. Yes, sir.
Love,
yes, sir. All up.
Right, I'm home court, just standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down? I'm home court, just standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down? They ain't believe in me in the beginning. Don't wanna hang around now they see me winning. I'm home court, just standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down?
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.